I already had planned what I wanted to talk about, and I'm going to do that. I just want to have another approach with that. Those of you who read the Facebook post, and I'm really working on getting a team together where we can start making better presentation about what we're doing here at the Tracy Lathrop campus. Amen? Amen? And so that means we've got to endeavor to give our best to operate in excellence. We have to give our best. It has to be intentional. We have to be intentional when it comes to giving God our best, because God has already given his best unto us. Amen? Amen. Amen. The title you see on the CD, for those of you that are purchasing, and then those of you that are members of that Living Word, partnering with me in that endeavor, says how to move from comfort to commitment. And that's really it. But I want to use a different approach, because the truth of the matter is, as I was praying and thinking about it, you all already know what you need to do by way of commitment. You know you need to be at church. You know you need to give the tithe. You need to give an offering. You need to go to watch. You need to be sharing Christ with other people. You know that. But I've discovered, Sister Boykin, it's not about commitment so far, so much. Reverend Brown, I think it's more of a matter of being inconvenienced. The reason why many of us are not committed or doing what we know we should do is because we don't like being inconvenienced. I don't want to go there and do that. I'm tired and I'm this. So if you can get past those little inconveniences, you can be better committed or more committed. Amen? And so I want to look at that in the life of Peter, Matthew chapter 14. As you're turning there, let me give you my working definitions, if you will. Matthew chapter 14, the gospel as recorded by Matthew. It's the first of the four synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew chapter 14. Minister Ward, to be comfort or comfort, the working definition I have for comfort is that which causes you to feel safe and cozy. When you're comfortable, you feel safe. Like being in your bed on a cold day and it's nice and warm. The heater's on, you got the thick blankets. That's comfort. But then to be committed means it's that which causes you to be dedicated to what you're doing. People that are committed, it causes them to be dedicated to what they're doing. If I'm committed, I'm dedicated to what I'm doing. I'm not going to be swayed. I'm not going to let nobody talk me out of it. I'm committed. And some of us have proven ourselves more committed to other folk than we've been to God. That's my friend. I'm loyal. I ain't going to let my friend down. Well, what about when it comes to God? So under that, how to move from comfort to commitment, write this. And this would be, and I was born and raised in New Orleans. I don't know what you all called it here. Maybe you called it the same thing or used the same initials. Under moving from comfort to commitment, put AKA how to do what you're supposed to do. And that's my focus, how to do what you're supposed to do. How to do what you're supposed to do. Everybody here has something to do every day. There's something you have to do every day. For those of you that work, you got to work. Ain't no way around that. You got to work. Those that go to school, you got to go to school. If you live in your parents' house, they ought to make you go to school. Ain't no question about that. You ought to be going to school. But it's not about whether I'm committed to it, it's about whether I'm willing to be inconvenienced. Come into church. Sometimes folk don't come because I don't want to be inconvenienced. It's Wednesday, you know, and I've heard people say this. My show, come on. Your show. You ain't got stock in the company. Them folk don't know you. And you cannot be all that God wants you to be. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If you're not willing to be inconvenienced, because God is not calling people to be comfortable. He wants them committed, and you will be more committed when you're willing to be inconvenienced. The problem with comfortability is you adjust so it can accommodate you. Stay with me. The problem with being comfortable, pretty soon, regardless of where you are, if you learn to adjust, you do things to accommodate you. Case in point, right here. Those of you who've had little children, you remember when they were small. I got a good example of that today. Little Logan at my house. He's how old is Logan? He's almost 2 years old. And Logan needs to have his pamper change. He needs to have it changed. He know it needs to be changed because it bothers him when it first happened. Come on, stay with me. I'm going somewhere. It needs to be changed. You know it. You smell it. Come on. He knows it because you'll see some little movement. Come on. You remember. Come on. Those of you who had little children, you know you. Come here. Come here. Junior, come here. You. But the ironic thing about that, how many by show of hands have had little kids, either your own or other kids you were watching, and you know, and they know their pamper need to be changed. But when you call them, they run. Anybody by show of hands. Come here. They know what you're trying to do. Stay with me. Don't miss the point. They know what you're trying to do. Come here. Come here. And then you say, let me change that pamper. And if you don't change it right away, they can function with it. Stay with me. Stay with me. You didn't come in the right place tonight. You function with it because you become comfortable. You've adjusted to what needed to be changed. You've adjusted to it. So you can play all day stinking up the house. If nobody, and some of you, like me, we have become comfortable with things that need to change. I'm comfortable. Yeah, I know I stink. Just get away from me. Because I'm comfortable. Watch this. Don't change me because it's going to inconvenience me. I got to stop playing. And my so-called friends, who my age ain't said nothing about it. Why is bothering you? Because we don't want to change. And be honest with yourself. Many of you I'm looking at, I've been there. You are not where God wants you to be because in your mind you've said, I don't want to be inconvenienced. Let somebody else do it. I'm not a so-and-so. Why I got to do it? Because if you commit it, if it needs to be done, it's going to get done. And everybody likes to give lip service. We need life service. Oh, I come ready for you tonight. And if you want all that God wants you to have, you've got to say, Lord, even if I got to be inconvenienced, I'm willing to do it. It wasn't convenient for Jesus to come from heaven. Perfect place down to this dirty, no good world, spit upon, lied on, whipped, beaten, bruised for us. That wasn't convenient. Sure enough, wasn't comfortable. But he was committed that we may have life. See, and you got to take, don't think about nobody else tonight. Think about you. What areas of your life that you know you're not committed? And truth be told, because you don't want to be inconvenienced. I ain't going to Bible studies. I just go Sunday. Why? Why not? What prohibits you from coming? And is that legitimate? Not in your mind, but in light of all that God has done for you, what keeps you from coming to the place where you know the word is going for your situation? Now, you know that's sad. If you know there's a word for your situation and you're in a situation, but you don't go where you get the word for the situation, but yet you're praying that God change the situation, and God said, I've gave you a place to go. Amen. Stop crying to me and go where the word is. Well, you know, because every time you got an excuse, God's got a heavenly eraser. And I'm telling you, there are some of you, I know you really want it, but God says you don't want it bad enough. Because if you want it bad enough, and there's things in your life you want it bad enough, you did some things to do it. In the rain, I'm going. I paid too much for these tickets. I'm going. I'm going to find a ride. It's an inconvenience, but you want to go. So how do we get to the point where we do what we're supposed to do? Well, I think Peter gives us a good example. Right here in chapter 14, verse 22 through 33. Let me give you the backdrop. Jesus is just feeding the, boy, that intro was good, huh? I could have just rolled that. I had no idea. Peter, Jesus had just fed the 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So, you know, that's quite a few people. And after that, watch what Jesus does. Verse 22 says, watch what Jesus does here. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples, made them, didn't ask them, made them. When you have to make somebody do something, it's because they don't want to do it. And you've got to understand the reason why. I'm with Jesus. Why I want to leave Jesus? I just saw this man feed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children, and now he wants me to leave him? I don't know. I ain't feeling too good about this. So he makes them, watch them, he makes his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. You got it? He makes them get into the boat. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, some things God's going to make you do. He's not asking how you feel about it. You ever been in a situation where you say, I don't care, I ain't going to do that. And it got so bad that you had to do it. And you say stuff like this. Well, I'm going to only do it this one time. Because God's got a way of making you do stuff. They get in the boat. Watch what happens now. He makes them get in the boat, go before him to the other side while he sends the multitudes away. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up on a mountain by himself to what? Now when evening came, he was alone there. Watch this. Stay with me. Jesus, help me, Holy Spirit, sends the disciples out while he go up. Jesus says, boys, go out. I'm going up. Watch what he tells them. Go to the other side. I'm going up. Well, the scary thing is, hey, I don't want to do this without you. But he makes them go. They go out to the middle of the sea while he goes on the mountain. And he's on the mountain praying. Now, because he's on the mountain praying, watch what happens. He tells them to get in the boat, go to the other side. Verse 24, the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves. For the wind was contrary. They're at sea. They're at sea. They're doing what he said do. Whether they wanted to do it or not, just do what he said do. That's a word for somebody. Whether you want to do it or not, because he knows better than you. His track record is already proven. They're in the sea. He's on a mountain. He tells them to go. Here comes the winds. Here comes the waves. How many of you know by show of hands, when you're doing what God tells you to do, all kind of stuff happens. I mean, all hell will break loose, huh? And you wondering, watch it. And Satan will play with your mind and say, now see, you following Jesus, though. You won't be a good Christian. You talking about making impact. Well, you could have just stayed at your house. You realize how far you have to drive. You realize you just come from work. I hear all that, devil, but there's a word for my situation. Watch him now. When the fourth watch of the night, in the night, Jesus went to them. How does he come to them? Walking on the water. He's walking on the sea. Now watch, this is what I want you to get. Pay close attention how Jesus comes to them. Ooh. He doesn't come to them like he sent them out. He don't come on a boat. He doesn't hitch a ride. He doesn't come on a cloud. He doesn't just appear like he could have on the boat. What is Jesus doing? He's trying to teach them something. He comes walking on the very thing that's a problem for them. I don't care what you're dealing with tonight. It's all under Jesus' feet. I don't know what you're dealing with, but it's under his feet. And he comes to them walking on the thing that's troubling them. Whatever's troubling you, you better tell Jesus because he's already on top of it. Amen. Watch him now. He comes and he's walking on the water or the sea. Watch this now. Here's the first thing you've got to do. if you're going to do what you're supposed to do, even if it inconveniences you. You ready for it? Number one, you've got to see Jesus in your situation. I know you got a situation. Don't look at the situation. Look for Jesus in the situation. Because after all, he told them. He made them. Watch what happens. Verse number 26. Watch this. And when the disciples what? Oh, wait. And when the disciples what? They're in a storm. Minister Ernest, they're in a storm. And they need to look for Jesus, but who they see walking on the sea trouble them. Now, see, this is where a lot of preachers mess up Lady Clark, because they always beat the disciples up about this. Watch this now. Jesus is walking on the water, on the sea. They were troubled. Let me give you the Greek word for trouble. They're tripping. Man, what? They're tripping. Watch this. Saying, it is a ghost. It's a spirit. Before you beat them up about it, you have to understand context and culture. Because back then, it was said that the dead that died at sea could come up. So now what we're thinking is, it's Jesus, but we think it's a ghost. So now they're troubled. And before you beat them up, let's get on the ship. In the middle of the sea, storm break out. And you look out your window. You're on a cruise. You sipping on a little something, you know, and you put your drink down. You said, Lord, wait a minute. What the? You rocking and reeling. You scared? Because you know when you're scared, you calling Jesus. You praying like you never prayed before. You trying to remember all the scriptures, you know, because you're on a cruise. You didn't bring that Bible. Your phone battery dead. You can't get no connection. That's why you got to hide the word in your heart, because regardless of where you are, you got the word. You stand on the word. So they're rocking and reeling, and they see this, and they're like, what the? How? Oh, I got to stop all this drinking here. Jesus, somebody bring me some water. Now watch this, because they're tripping and we beat them up, but they think it's a ghost. How would you feel? You want to see, you see something out there. Girl, come see this. Oh, that ain't nothing, girl. You drunk. No, look. Watch it now. They see it, and they saw him, but they thought it was a ghost. That's why they were scared. Now, you've got to see Jesus in your situation. I'm not telling you don't look at your situation. I'm saying look for Jesus in it. And the problem is when we get in the situations, the last person we look for is Jesus. We call him, but we don't look for him. Come on. And see, calling on Jesus ain't the same for looking for him. Because you get on a roller coaster. You scared to death. Oh, Jesus! You ain't calling him because you're looking for him. You call it because you take it. That's going to help me out. You've got to look for Jesus. You've got to be intentional. Whatever you're dealing with today, get it in your mind. Finances, family, job, whatever it is, yourself, your health, whatever it is, get it in your mind. Now that you see that in your mind, look for Jesus. Look for Jesus in it, because I promise you, as God's child, he wants you to see him. Because it can't happen to you without first going by him. So, Pastor Clark, are you telling me what I'm dealing with, God allowed it? Yep. You mean he could have stopped it? Yep. Or why he didn't stop it? Because he knows what you can and can't handle. He knows better than you. So why are you saying, get me out? He said, no, learn it in it. Well, you saying why? He said, because you're my child. When you say, when I'm going to come out? He says, when he's ready to get you out. Watch it now. Repeat after me. You've got to see Jesus in your situation. If you're going to be more committed to whatever it is, and I one of my first things to tell you I need you to be committed is coming to church. Just start right there. Just be committed. I'm making a commitment. Forget resolutions. I'm talking about commitment. I'm making a commitment. Watch this. Just start small for the rest of this year. I'm going to be at Bible study. And I promise you, when you make that commitment, all kinds of stuff going to come up. Because right now, some of you are thinking, well, next Wednesday, I got to go take care of this. Change it. I got to get a word for my situation. But then I want you to be that same way about church on Sunday. I got to come to church. Well, you went to Bible study. You don't change one for the other. They go together. Information Wednesday, inspiration Sunday. Now I got my information, my inspiration. I'm ready to go to my destiny. I better watch me. I'm ready to go to destination. Because when you're inspired, you can do things you couldn't do when you wasn't inspired. Now that I got information, I know what I'm inspired about. Watch him now. Watch him. You got to see Jesus in your situation. Here's number two. I'm going to give it to you. We're going to be done. Number two, if I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, move from being comfortable or being committed, not only must I see Jesus in my situation, but I got to trust what he says over what I see. I see the storm. I see the water. I feel the wind. But watch this. Look at verse 27. But immediately, in the midst of the storm, Jesus did what? He spoke to them. Even in your situation, you've got to be listening because Jesus is talking through your situation. Water don't stop Jesus from talking. Wind don't bother Jesus from talking. Waves don't bother Jesus from talking. That bother you, but that don't bother him. Hey, could it be that he's got to send wind, water, and waves to get your attention? Because you're too busy all of the time. And God forbid, is everything going great? I ain't looking for Jesus. God forbid, if you got some money in your pocket, man, I ain't looking for Jesus. God forbid, is everything's going great. Health's great. Y'all got a nice savings. Family doing well. You can go where you want. Your bills are paid. I ain't listening for no Jesus. Until the money get funny. The change get strange. Come on. Things starts to happen. But watch this. In the midst of it, Jesus spoke to them. Because you his child, he won't let nothing stop him from speaking to you. He wants you to be committed to him. You've got to, listen, you got to decide. Either you're going to act like what's going on around you or the person that's talking to you. That's why you got to be careful who you let get in your ear. Sometimes you don't need everybody talking to you. Some of y'all need to get to a point where you start getting by yourself. Spend more time with you. Spend more time with you. You and God. I'm. What you doing, man? Just me and God today. Take a ride. Just you and God. If you're at home and you can't, go in the yard. Turn the TV off. Get off the phone. Just you and God. I promise you he's got more to say to you than Facebook. He's got more for you to see than it's on television. And all those things are great. I love them, but it's about priority. Because I promise you, when hell break loose in your life, you're going to dismiss all that. You ain't going to run to see if you're sure. Come on, you ain't going to go see who got the latest post. You praying, you getting in the Bible, you trying to read stuff you don't know. You're way over there. And Ezekiel talking about the dry bones dancing. You just reading and reading and reading, hoping something's going to jump out. If you spend time in the Word, you ain't got to be looking through the Word. Just read the Word. Amen. Let me keep going. Watch this. There are some things in life that will scare you, and this storm scares them. They're fishermen. They're used to water and wind, but this, oh, no. Watch this. Jesus told them to go to the other side, and when he tells you to go to the other side, nothing is going to hinder your arrival. Nothing is going to stop you from going where God told you to go if God told you to go. See, that's the point. That's the problem, man. You go in some places, and then you won't tag God on it. God bless this. No. Write this down. It's a sweet tweet. Stop praying, God bless what I'm doing, and just do what he's blessing. Amen. There's some things he's already blessing. Tithe, he's blessing that. I know you don't want me to talk about it, but I do declare in the name of Jesus, we ain't going to be no broke church. People here are going to have some money because they're going to do right with their money. We're going to be wise and not wasteful. Oh, see, I should see, you don't believe it because many of y'all can't respond. Listen, you don't want it, I'll get it for you. You know I'm going to get it? I'm going to apply the principles. I'm going to give the tithe and the offering, and I'm going to give it with an expectation. And I'm going to call God on it. Now, God, you said. See, listen, if you don't expect nothing, I promise you, you're going to get it. You're guaranteed. No expectation, no problem. You already got it. Amen. You got to trust what he says over what you see. Although what you see is real, trusting Jesus brings rewards. And we've got to get to the point where we hear his voice over everything else that's going on. Told you the story before. Indulge me again. My friend Mark Anthony Lee lived in New Orleans on Parker Street. We would play football, and Mark Anthony Lee was the only one in the neighborhood with the football. We call it the Rock. And then Mr. playing football in the street, cars passing, girls playing tetherball, dogs barking. Miss Lee would come out and say, Mark Anthony Lee. She called his whole name. Mark Anthony Lee, come on in here. And I don't care. He could be getting ready to throw it. I'm gone. I say, you what? Man, my mama calling me. He had more respect for his mama than his boys. Let me ask you, who do you have more respect for? Could you hang up the phone? I don't care how juicy the gossip, if God is telling you, hang it up. Could you stop associating with people if God said, okay, that's bad company, stay away from them? Or would you compromise and rationalize? You've got to trust what he says over what you see. Yeah, they see the storm, but he's speaking to them. Now watch this. Take note that when all this is going on, they still hear his voice. You got waves, water beating against the boat. You see that? Water, wind, waves, all this, and he's still talking. Now, here is where verse 27, let me be honest with you all, presents a problem for me. Verse 27 presents a problem. Boy, I got so many tweets right in here. Verse 27 presents a problem for me. Here you go, Sister Brown. Watch this. The problem is Jesus' salutation does not equal their situation. Look at the salutation. Watch what he does. He says, be of good cheer. It is I. I'm in a storm. And you pop up and say, be of good cheer. It is I. What? I'm in a storm. You say, be of good cheer. How am I going to be happy with all this going around? Here's the answer. It's I. Oh, boy. See, I think some of y'all need to say that when you're in a situation. You need to say, be of good cheer. It's Jesus. Whatever you're dealing with, be of good cheer. Because in the middle of the sea, I'm not trying to hear that. But as long as he's with me, I can handle what's happening around me. Repeat after me. As long as he's with me, I can handle what's happening around me. Now, don't just say it. Live that, okay? Live that. Because trust me, after hearing this, some storms are going to come up. Because that's part of life. Storms come. Whether you're living right or living wrong, storms are going to come. You're going to have problems without Jesus, but it's also good to know you could have problems with Jesus. But the key component is you got Jesus. So problems come on because Jesus is there with me. You got it? First one is, if you're going to do what you're supposed to do, you have to see Jesus in your situation. Second, you have to trust Jesus, what he says over. Ooh, Reverend Brown, watch this one here. Here you go, Ward. Ernest, you can have this. Verse 28. Not only do I see Jesus in this situation, not only I trust Jesus over what I see, but then watch this. Woo, I get excited. You got to confirm clearance before you cross. You see that, Doc? Dr. Hall, you got to confirm. Wait, let me get some clearance. You know about that airport thing. Let me get clearance before I cross. The problem is too many of us have crossed and then asked for clearance. You're going to marry him and then ask God, is he the one? Because something in your spirit told you, you're going to marry her because she go to church. Well, you got all kind of folk in church. All kind. You got you in church. And you know you. Watch this. Got to confirm his cleanse before he crossed. Verse 28. All right. He heard what Jesus said. Ooh, here's another tweet. Here it is. He heard what he said. Watch it. Jesus said, Peter, now watch what Peter says. Jesus says, be of good cheer, as I do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you. If it's you, watch this, command me to come to you on the water. In other words, he says, this is what he's saying. Authenticate your authority. Boy, y'all, I'm giving y'all some good stuff. Prove to me you are who you say you are. Watch this. Because I recognize the voice. My sheep hear my voice. I recognize the voice, but I ain't moving just because I heard a voice. Give me clearance to cross. In other words, let me do what you're doing. If I can do what you're doing, then I'm rolling. Watch what he says. He says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you. Peter is saying what we need to say. Peter is saying, in essence, I'd rather stand on the sea with Jesus than on a ship that's about to sink. I'm going to stay right here in the middle of the sea. If I'm with Jesus, man, y'all could stay on the boat all day. Because he understands it's better to be with Jesus than to be with your crew. Watch this now. He wants to do what Jesus said do. Verse 29, we're just walking through the text. And so he said, meaning Jesus. What did Jesus say? That's it. That's it. He said, come. That's it. Now this is what blew me away. Watch this. Jesus said, come. He said one word, and it changed Peter's life. You agree with that? You agree with that? How many agree? Show your hand. He said one word changed Peter's life. Now here's the problem. That was one word and changed Peter's life. You got a whole book of his word. Peter got one word. You got words. A Bible full of words. So if one word could change one man's life, how are we sitting here not being changed? You know how much word we've got here? He says, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, verse 29, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. All of this is the result of one word. Just a word from the Lord will make all the... See, that's why you can't afford to miss church. Because even if I'm not, I'm talking about something you can't relate to, there may be just one word. See, I'm telling you, you miss it when you don't come with an expectation. You miss it. You got to come. Don't wait here to get your shout on. You ought to be, listen, get your mind right before you get here. Put your music on and people will say, well, that's been fun. And no, I'm trying to get my mind ready for when you go to work, you need your mind right. Come on, you want your mind to be right. You can't be singing all them crazy songs at them people's job, especially if you are doing that where you got to answer the phone. Baby, won't you come my way? Hello? You can't do that on them folk job. You've got to have your mind right. Amen? See Jesus in your situation. I'm almost done. Trust what Jesus says over what you see. Confirm clearance before crossing. Here's the last one. You've got to disregard negative dialogue. Discard it. Throw it off. Anything negative, because you're about to do what's never been done before. You got to discard that. Look at verse 30. Watch this now. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. Stop right there. Ooh, boy, this is going to get real good here. All right. Ed, you stand behind here. You're going to be the disciples. You're going to be the disciples. Ernest. You stand right there in the middle there. You're going to be Jesus. Right there. Now, you ain't got on. Sister Hall, we're just playing. We know you know he really ain't Jesus. I can tell you. All right. You all on these two sides, you are the waves. Just keep doing. Do it slow. Don't raise them too high. You're going to get tired. Just do it real slow. You can put your hands low. Just do it. Watch this. Now, I'm Peter. I see this. Now, you the disciples, you got to act scared. I got fear behind me. I got waves in front of me, but I got Jesus standing here. He's got three choices. Oh, God, don't miss this. Multiple choice. Now, you can stop because some of y'all looking like that. Like, look, just remember, you waves. Watch this. You the wind. Watch this. Peter's got three choices. Lady Clark, I never saw this before. Watch this. Prophetess, Reverend, everybody, watch this. Watch this. Peter's got three choices. I never saw this before. Choice one, multiple choice. One, I could go back and ask the disciples to help me. That's my boys. That's my crew. We went through, we've been this far together on the boat. He can go back and say, help me. Problem, they're scared. Woo, Jesus, got to get this. They're scared. Why am I going to go back? And they're scared. If I'm messing up and they already messed up, it's going to make it worse for me. But then that's multiple choice A. B, Peter could simply stay right there and tread the water. How you know that? Because when you read after Jesus Christ is resurrected, Peter jumps in and swims to him. So the boy can swim. Problem, he going to get tired. And some of you are trying to navigate through your circumstances by yourself. And you getting tired. And you're tired because you're trying to do it. Choice three, let us see. He can go to the one that called him out in the first place. Now you tell me what you're going to do. You going back? That's your boys, though. Y'all come up in the town together. The village. Come on. Come on. E-40. Come on. Come on. But they're scared. Oh, man, I can do my own thing. But you're going to get tired. So he says, Jesus, let me come to you. Now, the problem is he looked up and he looked around. He messed up when he looked down. He looked down when he could have just kept looking straight ahead. But now watch this. Peter begins to sink. Thank you, brothers. You can sit down. Peter begins to sink, and he cries out, Lord, watch the text. He asks Jesus to save him. Watch him. He says, but when he saw the wind was voicing, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. The Bible, verse 31 says, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. What does Jesus say to him? Jesus said, ye of little faith, why'd you doubt? Come on, stand back up, Jesus. I got to use you for this. I'm falling, but I'm calling on the one who called me out. I said, forget the crew. I don't care about the weather. He stretches his hand. Jesus gets him. Don't miss this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. I'm not overly concerned about what Jesus said, Damon, Rodney. You know what really got me about the text and got me crazy, Reverend Brown? Is where they're having a conversation. They're in the middle of the sea talking. Oh, you got to see it. We're having a conversation in the middle of the sea. And Jesus says to him, in the middle of the sea, standing up. Now he's standing on the water. Jesus says, oh, ye of little faith. Boy, Jesus is so cool. You got to see him. Come on, man, let's go on back to this boat. Man, you ain't got no faith. Man, I don't believe you. Watch him now. Watch him. The text says, and immediately Jesus, verse 31, stretched out his hand, called him, and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Watch the text, verse 32. And when? We don't know how long that walk was. But that should have been doing something to Jesus. And that should be doing something for you. Because even in the midst of that situation, Jesus kept you all the time in it. When you didn't think you was going to get out of it, he was holding conversation. And now he's telling you right now, in the midst of what you're dealing with, oh, you of little faith, all that we've been through, all that I brought you from. And then when they get there, watch verse 32. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. They benefited from Peter's demonstration of faith. There are people who are depending on you. And you've got to keep the faith, even if it makes you look foolish. See, but we don't want to look foolish. Jesus takes Peter back to the boat. And when he gets to the boat, the wind ceased. Which means, if they didn't get back to the boat. Because, come on, let's be honest. Jesus could have took Peter. Come on, Jesus, one more time. And you all are the disciples. Come on, hold my hand this way. And Jesus could have been talking, yeah, man, you know, and I'm still trying to see you. And just passed them up, could have kept going. He does not have a reason to bless them. They were fearful. But he blesses them because their connection with Peter. Ooh, watch this. Because of their connection with Peter, and now the wind cease is good for everybody. Everybody benefits. Here's the point I'm trying to get you to see. If you stick with Jesus, regardless of what you're dealing with, he'll bring you through it. He'll bring you through it. Now, here's what I discovered. Immediately, the Bible says, Jesus stretched out his hand and healed him. The boat gets to the land. It ceased. Then those, look at verse 33. Good time. Then those who were in the boat came and did what? Some of your best worship comes after a storm. God ever delivered you from something? I mean, you worshiping like nobody's business. People think you Mahalia Jackson in the house. Hallelujah. You going in. Watch it now. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now, you know where the shout is real in the text? Preachers, that a lot of people miss. The shout in the text is verse 34. When they had, you missed it. One more time. When they had crossed over, you missed it. Okay, try it one more time. Let me see if you're going to get it. All right, verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get in the boat and go before him to, verse 34 again. When they had crossed over. From the very beginning, he said, go to the other side. The reason why he asked them why you doubt, didn't you hear what I said? I bet, boy, if Jesus, ooh, boy. I wonder if Jesus paused, you know, and right after verse 34, I wonder if he said something like, how you like me now? Wouldn't that been killer? He's just like, didn't I tell you? Here's the thing. I was thinking about this. You got it? You got them points? I want you to hold on to them. You got them? Or do I need to repeat them? You got them. Okay, now watch this. Good class. Now, that's the information. I want to see if you're going to take the application, make application. Now, I was thinking, I said, Lord, how I'm going to close this? He says, you know what I've been trying to get Peter to do? I said, what's that, Jesus? He said, all I was trying to do, watch this, brothers, because you all can relate to this better than the sisters. I was saying, well, no, not really. I was trying to get Peter, whoo, you ready for it? To move Lady Clark from being my customer to being my client. Oh, y'all missed it. Come on, Barbara. Peter, like the other boys, had just been a customer. I want him to be a client. Watch your thought. A customer comes in the same way, pays and gets a regular cut. A client pay a little extra, but he gonna get that cut just right. Jesus wants you to move from customer. Yeah, you his child. He ain't got no preference, but the customer is not as close as the client. They all know the barber. They all come to the barber, but there's a big difference. Watch this. After it's over, the customer leaves with an outward change. The client leaves with an inward connection. Oh. The client, unlike the customer, can get an appointment at a moment's notice. Because even if the barber is closing, the client can say, Doc, I know you're closing up. Let me come through there real quick. Come on, man, I got you. Customer can't do that. The client can say, man, look, I need you to cut me up real quick. The barber will make special arrangements. Ooh, God. For the client. But the customer, man, you got to get in line. Oh, but put your name down, right? And, you know, when I get to you, oh, man. The Lord's told me to tell y'all, if you do what you're supposed to do, you become a client, not just a customer. You know what I like about it? Even at the hair salon, watch this. The customer is called Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so. But the client, well, yeah, Joe, what's happening, Doc? All right. When you become his client, you're on the first name. I'm done. We out of time. And you ought to want to be God's client and not just a customer. See, that happens when you do what you're supposed to do. Yeah, it's going to cost you more. Yeah, you may have to go further, but you got certain things a customer can't get. And the client goes to the same barber because he knows what he's getting. God says, come to me. I'll give you just what you want, and you're going to get special treatment, and I know you by name, and you don't have to worry about the line because you're a client, and you pay more, but you're going to get more. Question on the floor. Are you ready to move from comfort to commitment? Then see Jesus in your situation. Trust what he says over what you see. You just got to do it. And I can't trust him for you. And he will keep testing you and testing you till you get to the point where you trust him. He won't get tired of testing you. You'll get tired. Could just like the teacher at school, I know the answers. And if you don't want to keep repeating the class, study the book. Because with God, it's all an open book test. You got the book and you don't even read it. Yet when trouble comes, you say, Lord, what's the answer to number 6? I know it's in there, but ain't no cliff notes for this. The people that get the most from this are people who have become clients. That's because they've been going to the same barber. I don't care where he moved to. Come on, sisters, I'm going to Quisha house. She whipped me tight. Girl, but she live way over there. I know. But everybody always give me compliments when I go to her house. It's going to cost, I know, but it's going to be right. My prayer is that you move from customer to client. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise.